You can hear me okay? I've been requested to give you an update as to my grandchildren. You've been praying for them. And believe it or not, we are so grateful for all of the folks that are praying for these little boys. We have heard from literally around the world, literally from churches who, during the day of operation, actually spent 24 hours in prayer regarding him. Little David, who is 2 years old, he will be three in a, coming up, has cancer, of course, and neuroblastoma. They recently operated on him, and the operation was to last for 7 hours, but 3.5 hours later, the doctors and surgeons came to my son and daughter-in-law, and they had closed him up. There's nothing they could do because the cancer had intertwined itself around the lower intestine. So just yesterday, day before, some of you got a further update. They are going to try one more, two rounds of chemo and immunotherapy, and that is a very, very painful thing. So especially for a little guy who's been very traumatized in that regard. Although it's interesting how the Lord my daughter-in-law went to her parents in Park Hill on Friday, and my son is heading that way today to pick them up. They're there for Thanksgiving. We got a little picture on communication that we have as a family, and he was doing very well. He's enjoying life. So we are appreciative of the fact that God is still in control. He knows the best thing for him. We still continue to pray for a healing, a miracle in his life, but we pray it as the Lord's Prayer says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And as a result, he is still playing, enjoying life in whatever way he can. But it's amazing how much opportunity this gives us to witness to neighbors, and I'll address that a little later. Seth, my oldest daughter's little boy, who is Down syndrome, on the 18th of this month, will be going in for an open-heart surgery. He has a hole in his heart, and he has a restricted valve. However, there's good news. This morning, I woke up, and my wife had received some communication that at 5:12 this morning, my second daughter had given birth to a little boy, and they called him Frederick Timothy. So he was 9 pounds, 1 ounce, and so he's not a little guy, so we are blessed indeed. Now, if I told you that she has 4 and a half dozen children, would that make sense? She has 10 children, and we are delighted. That makes 18 grandchildren for us now, and we delight in the fact that the Lord's grace is good. Let's just open in a word of prayer. Father, we know that you are all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful. And we thank you that you have given us your word through the scriptures that we have in our hands. Father, we thank you that in it and through it we have knowledge of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, above all, and knowledge of things to come, knowledge of the past, knowledge on how to live a godly life. And so, Father, we pray that as we look into your word this morning, that we would indeed be blessed and receive it as from you. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be above all, that there would be nothing that be communicated that would not be through him. And so, Father, we beseech the throne of grace for this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you could turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 25, or 24, verse 32. It's really titled, "Be Ready." Verse 32 of Matthew chapter 24. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. And so shall you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. God's word, not one dot or mark will ever disappear. In August 15th of this year, there was a headline about climate change. And I'm going to read it because I found it very interesting. It's now or never, scientists warn. Time of reckoning has come for the planet. The IPCC, or the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, is unequivocal. We must take urgent action to curb global heating and prevent catastrophe. Will policymakers and the COP26 conference be up to the task? The IPCC effectively announces a code red warning for our species. Unequivocal evidence showed greenhouse gas emissions were propelling us towards a calamitous, fiery future triggered by extreme climate change. Only urgent reduction of fossil fuel emissions can hope to save us. Our future climate could well become some kind of hell on earth, in quotes, said Professor Tim Palmer of Oxford University. Or as Professor Dave Rie, executive director of Edinburgh University Climate Change Institute, puts it, this is not just another scientific report. This is hell and high water writ large. Certainly, the numbers outlined in the report were stark and strikingly emphatic in comparison with past, far more cautious IPCC offerings. As it makes clear, humans have pumped around 2,400 tons of carbon dioxide into atmosphere since 1850, creating concentrations of gas that have not been seen on Earth in the last 2 million years. The report goes on to say, in short, things can only get worse. What does God tell us? God tells us simply this, that the earth will wear out whether we like it or not. It doesn't matter what you or I do try to restore it, even if we are good stewards of it. The earth will still wear out and come to an end on the day he appoints it. Acts 1 verse 7. It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set in his own authority. What do we know? What we know, or what we do know, is that we are much closer to the last days than ever before and must be alert and prepared. Some scripture here. Luke 21, verses 9 to 11. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. And then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be a great earthquake, or quakes, plural, famines, pestilences, in plural, in various places, and fearful events, and great signs from heaven. There will be signs in the sun. This is verse 25 to 26. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity of the roaring and the tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. When you look at the news, China, Taiwan, Turkey, Iran, Sudan, Russia, the Middle East, keep your eye on Israel. That is the jewel of God's prophetic timeline. I don't know how many of you know Amir Sarfati, or if you listen to him. He's a Jew. He lives in Galilee. He's from the tribe of Judah. He was in the IDF. He was a deputy mayor of Jericho, and he's just spent the last 3 months in a tour. He's a Messianic Jew. He's teaching throughout the states, in the Scandinavian countries, and in Europe. a man of God who believes that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is not very far away. I'll tell you, that gives me hope. That gives me hope. Not that he said it, but that the word says it, and we'll carry on here. Obviously, people are very fearful these days. They're in confusion. There's so many things that are happening, and so quickly in our day and age. Every day we're bombarded with news and commentary on changing fabric of our world, natural disasters, pollution, diminishing natural resources, biodiversity, growth populations, environmental issues, and changing landscapes. In the same way that a garment will eventually wear out and cannot be repaired, the fabric of the present heavens and earth is also subject to decay. Romans 8, verse 21. And cannot be restored to its former natural beauty. Of course, we know that in Genesis, God judged the sin of man. And the earth fell under a curse. Let's look at Romans 8, beginning at verse 18. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Romans 8, verse 19. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Verse 20. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be set free from the bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly. Do you groan inwardly sometimes? Is your heart vexed like Lot at the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah? As we see the things going on around us? It's unbelievable sometimes what's happening in the education system and things. We groan inwardly as we do what? Wait nonchalantly. No. Wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. And that's the next thing that's going to happen. When we hear the trump and Christ descends, those who are dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, the redemption of our bodies. Our soul is already saved, and brother, you're correct. Our position in Christ is greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and I'm seated within the heavenlies, and so we are already with him. Our salvation is so sure. Verse 24, for in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for we hope for who hopes for what he sees. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Wonderfully, there is good news. God has made a way for all mankind to live with him for all eternity in the new heaven and the new earth. And that new heaven and earth will never wear out, but endure forever. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Mark 5:36. Do not be afraid, only believe. Genesis 8:22. As long as the present earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall never cease. That's God's promise. John 14:27. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. Job verse 12, verse 10. In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. Hebrews 13:5. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. On Friday, I had the opportunity to do some work at a neighbor north of our place. And by the way, I probably get to Peterborough as much as you do. We actually live north of Havelock, in a little place called Stony Ridge, and we fellowship at Lakeville Gospel Chapel. That it doesn't make any difference. It's still Peterborough County, I suppose. Had the opportunity to do a little job for a lady north of our place and towards Apsley. And because she knew of the situation with David, our grandson who has cancer, she asked me about it. And I had a wonderful opportunity as we stood there in the garden. She was showing me her vegetable gardens and what she's doing, to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation. I was able to quote a few verses of scripture. Now, most people are glad that you have faith when you talk, when you have that kind of an opener. Well, I'm glad that you have something to hold on to. But it gives an opportunity to share the gospel and what it means. I said, it's not a religion. Most people come up with the fact that say, you know, this religion and that religion and how this church has done so much damage to children and all kinds of stuff. And I'm able to say it's not about religion. And there's hypocrites in every church. But I said it's a relationship with Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who rose again, is now seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he is coming back for his children. And I quote John 3:16. The opportunities are there. And as you, I wasn't always this way. But I pray for boldness. And you know something? As we see the day approaching, and I don't think it's too far around the corner, God is still asking us to go and make disciples and telling others of his son. What about weathering? Weathering describes the breakdown and the dissolving of rocks and minerals on the surface of the earth. Water, ice, acids, salt, plants, animals, and change in temperature are all agents of weathering. Acid rain has damaged many historical buildings and monuments, and for example, in China, which is has the world's largest statue of Buddha, it is 71 meters tall, or 233 feet tall. And it was built around 563 and BC. No, AD. That's before Common Era, whatever it is. And of course, being carved around 1,300 years ago, it sat unharmed for centuries. An innovative drainage system mitigates the natural process of erosion. But in recent years, acid rain has turned the statue's nose black and made some of its hair crumble and fall. Who's your God? We know who our God is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Let's look further into what it means that heaven and earth will pass away. The Bible consistently warns us that this world will not last forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 35. And his statement was in the context of end-time prophecies and the eternal nature of Jesus' words. My words will never pass away. And this means that trusting Jesus is the wisest thing that anyone can do. The wisest thing that anyone can do. Jesus also refers to the passing away of heaven and earth in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. And in Revelation 21, verse 1, John writes a new heaven and an earth in the eternal state. And having seen that the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and to pass away is to disappear, to be no more, this refers to the physical heaven and the physical earth, that the material world and all it contains as you and I see it today. But it does not refer to the spirit and soul of man. Scripture is clear that people will outlast the current material universe. Some in the state of eternal bliss, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown in perishable is raised imperishable. But some to the state of eternal misery. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The current universe will be replaced by another, and it will never know the contamination of sin. Never know. Matthew 5:18, Christ came to fulfill the law. Let me read it. Verse 17. Do you not think that I have come to, or do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets? I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say unto you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota or a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For Jesus said, I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. What is the thing that people tell you the most when you talk about religion and going to heaven? Oh, I'm a good person. It's their works that will carry them into heaven. And just talk to some of your neighbors and some friends out there. It's very, very, very common to hear that. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people, says God. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. There's a coming day for Israel. Another verse of scripture says all Israel will be saved. But they're going through a time of tribulation, a time of Jacob's trouble, a time of God's wrath. But he has not appointed you and I who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to wrath. He has not. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. Well, we'll leave that maybe for a little. We'll read that near the end. The method of this world's destruction is revealed in 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 11 and 12, we'll just read those two. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. What happened in Noah's day? What did God use to judge the world? Water. What did he do for Sodom and Gomorrah? Fire and brimstone. What will the coming day bring? The Lord will destroy by fire. By fire. Nothing new for God to do that. Of course, as we mentioned, the New Testament calls it the day of wrath, the day of visitation, or the great day of God Almighty. Besides being time of judgment, it will also be a time of salvation as God will deliver the remnant of Israel, fulfilling his promise that all Israel will be saved. And that's in Romans 11:26. Forgiving their sins and restoring his chosen people to the land that he promised to Abraham. The final outcome, the day of the Lord, will be that the arrogance of man will be brought low and the pride of men humbled. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. The ultimate and final fulfillment of the prophecies concerning the day of the Lord will come at the end of history when God, with wondrous power, will punish evil and fulfill all his promises. But the day of grace is still here. God's grace is still upon the earth. And as men see what is happening around them, earthquakes, famines, pestilences, you name it, tsunamis, cyclones, tornadoes, floods. If that's not an eye-opener and gives you and I opportunity to speak to people about the Lord, we need to realize that the day is at hand. Don't be ignorant of the times and the seasons, and I believe that the day is closer than you and I may even think. No man knows the day or the hour. The prophet Isaiah foretold the passing away of heaven and earth too.
All the hosts of heaven shall rot away, and the skies roll up like a scroll. All their hosts shall fall as leaves fall from the vine, like leaves falling from the fig tree. Isaiah 34:4. The Lord assures his people that even as the heavens and earth are passing away, his salvation is secure. It says the heavens and earth will pass away or will vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants dies like flies, but my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. You and I serve a mighty God, a mighty God. Isaiah 51, very familiar to you. Verse 1 in Isaiah 51. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. And talking to the Israelites, he was talking about Abraham. And he says, look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you, for he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. Where did you get your new birth from? Through the Holy Spirit, by Jesus Christ. We're new creatures. Old things have passed away. We got to look to the rock from which we were hewn. But it was only by God's grace. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the rock of our salvation. Verse 3, for the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Verse 4, give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation. Sure, this is talking about Israel, but oh, aren't we grafted into the vine? Isn't it as much for you and I today? For the law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for the light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out, and my arm will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, the people whose heart is, in whose heart is my law, God says. Fear not the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings. For the moth will eat up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation to all generations. How many times does the scripture have to say this? Knowing that heaven and earth will pass away gives us a perspective in life that most other people do not have. This world is not my home. Probably you remember the song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. We are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. 2 Peter 3:13. Jesus tells us to have the proper priorities. And as I just said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Matthew 6, verses 19 and 20. And Peter, after reminding us of the temporary nature of this world, says, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. 2 Peter 3, verse 14. Psalm 102, verse 25 to 27. Talks about God. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. Ecclesiastes 3:1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. 1 Corinthians 7:31, for this world in its present form is passing away. Revelation 21:5. He who was seated on the throne said, I make everything new. Isaiah 65:17. Behold, I will create new heavens and new earth. Former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. You and I have such a great, great eternity to look forward to. So what do we know from this morning's message? Well, we know these things. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. It is not for us to know the times or dates which the Father has set. In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. We know that all Israel will be saved. We know that Christ will never leave us or forsake us. We know that heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will never pass away. Not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. We know that he will make all things new. We know that he will create new heavens and a new earth. We know that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying nor pain anymore, for the former things will pass away. We know that his salvation will last forever, and his righteousness will never fail. His righteousness will be forever, and his salvation to all generations. He is the same, and his years have no end. He is not slow to fulfill his promise, but is patient toward us, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. So how are we to respond? How are we to respond? We are not to be frightened. We are not to fear the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings. We are not to be afraid, but only to believe. We are not to let our hearts be troubled or be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he's there preparing a place for us. Can you imagine what it'd be like after building it for 2,000 years? Eye hath not seen nor ear heard what God has in store for those who believe in him. We are to consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed in us. We wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. We hope for what we do not see. We wait for it with patience. We know that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We are to be glad and rejoice in our salvation. We are to live lives of holiness and godliness. We are to wait for and wait eagerly for and look forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. We are to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. We are to make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. We are to wait for and hasten the coming day of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read this. This is now the second time that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing on as they were from the beginning of creation. At least they admitted creation back then. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word of God, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you and I, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to reach repentance. And that's a difficult world in our society today, I believe. Repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. In two little words. And then, underline it. The heaven will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done it will be exposed. And since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you and I to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Are you waiting for it? Are you hastening the day? Should get us excited. And you know something? As we see others around us, maybe some of our family and relatives, that God would give us the grace, if they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that his grace and mercy would reach out to them. And as you provide seed, God will give the increase. His desire is to see mankind come to know him. And the days are not long ahead, I believe. The time is running out. That God would give us a fresh burden to reach out to the lost because of what we know is coming. Most of the world doesn't know it's coming, but you and I have the scriptures. We know it's coming. And his promises are yea and amen. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that we have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And some people might think it's exclusive, but Father, there is only one way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, the Lord Jesus Christ says. But Father, it's out of love, a heart of love, that you've given that. And Lord, we know that the enemy of our souls is working hard against it. And so, Father, we pray that we as your people would become brighter lights in a darker world and be more bold and courageous to speak the truth in love. Father, we give you thanks and pray your blessing now upon the remainder of the service and upon our journeying back to our homes. In Jesus' name, amen.